Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we used to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. The word woman. Yes, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has struck again, in fact, twice this week. First, our dear leader AOC, the apostle of cancellation, all hail the chosen one, recently set CNN's Anderson Cooper straight. Well, perhaps I should rephrase. She guided him toward the path of even greater enlightenment by replacing the offensive cisgender abomination woman with something more befitting our blessed current wisdom.
This is about making sure that someone like me, as a woman, or any menstruating person in this country, cannot make decisions over their own body.
Yes, AOC, yes, never more shall we use nouns that seek to embody gender constructs we know don't exist. Be gone terms like woman and man. Let us instead identify people by their bodily functions. Henceforth, we shall have menstruating persons and non-menstruating persons. We shall have persons with fetuses and persons with whom we have not yet seen fetuses. There shall be ovulators, future ovulators, and ovulators of the past, as well as we unpleasant but perhaps occasionally tolerable non-ovulators. And as if to further cement her value to our culture, the very same AOC wore a white with red lettering dress to the disgustingly lavish Met Gala, a dress which simply read, "Tax the Rich." How else should she show those wealthy fat cats how wrong they are for their wealth, but by enjoying the same decadence as they do, while wearing such a powerful declaration of her hostility to that decadence? Well done, young menstruating person. Well done.
Woe unto all who offend!
Go to hell!
Tripwire CEO John Gibson, who had the gall, the absolute indefensible gall, to express not merely support for the Supreme Court's decision to not put a stop to the atrocious new Texas abortion hate law, but actual pride in them for this grotesque miscarriage. They did a bad thing, okay? In a tweet, Gibson had said he rarely gets political, but, quote, felt it was important to go on record as a pro-life game developer. Obviously and righteously, the company forced him to resign and replaced him with someone less wicked. Of course, Gibson is correct that many game companies have and will continue to express the proper sentiments on the precious right of a woman to choose, but this is the point. As the dialectics of Future Truth Newspeak teach us, the only purpose of freedom of speech is to protect true speech. False speech must be punished and swiftly, lest other speakers of error be emboldened. After all, the only way to protect true ideas is to bully contrary ideas from the public square. And since we know that our standards of truth never change, we must vehemently act so as to deter anyone else from uttering such falsehoods. Thus, the message to other would-be conservative entertainment leaders should be crystal clear. Speak not, lest thou also feel the righteous wrath of the gamer collective. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Love for the
fall. And finally, sitting still in class and doing what the teacher says, and really the entire positive behavioral interventions and supports approach now favored in the misguided white-centric education system. As Josh Thompson, an English teacher at Virginia's Blacksburg High School, so poignantly explained in a TikTok video, PBIS is really just Jim Crow with a happy face.
So if PBIS concerns itself with positive behaviors, we have to ask ourselves, okay, well, what are those positive behaviors? And it's things like making sure that you're following directions and making sure that you're sitting quietly and you are in your seat and all these things that come from white culture. So if we're positively enforcing these behaviors, we are by extension positively enforcing elements of white culture, which therefore keeps whiteness at the center, which is the definition of white supremacy.
Preach, my non-menstruating sibling, preach! This in truth is such a wonderful reminder of the fifth axiom of correcting white privilege. There is nothing for which we should not feel guilty, and there is no limit to how guilty we should feel about all things. Such sweet words. As we all know, it is unfair to think that black and brown children are capable of sitting still, or of following instructions, or of being quiet. Nay, fellow ovulators and non-ovulators, we must instead encourage them to fidget and wiggle, to disobey authority, and to make whatever noise their culture teaches them. Yes, these little BIPOCs must not have their BIPOCness stomped out of them by us ignorant white cultural colonizers. And what could possibly be more colonial than thinking that little black and brown children should behave the way white children do? What next? Should they color inside the lines? Should they learn so-called proper penmanship? Or even be told that white math applies to them too? No! We will not stand for it. Let the black and brown rumpus begin. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!